we go. This is Tom and Curly Show, 11 o'clock. Don't forget, you can always come in through the Online Trading Academy text line at 98973 or the mynorthwest.com. Lots of letters still pouring in over there, Jacob, huh?
Yeah.
All right. I'm stalling because I know the wooden wagon has a new driver, Tom, and I don't know if he knows his way around. Here comes an hour. Hey, look who's in the wagon, Tom.
It's me.
It's Andrew's in the wagon.
Oh, my God. An upgrade.
What are you doing in the wagon?
I'm going to teach the little lady how to speak in a British accent.
You're going to try to teach the little lady? Okay, let's can we listen in?
Yeah, here we go. Okay. Hello.
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 Okay.
Okay.
Okay, that's fine.
Excellent.
Diamond! Didn't go well.
I guess she's kind of rigid, that little lady.
He was really accentuating the British part.
Yes, he was.
All righty. Russell Wilson leaving Seattle and heading to New York City.
I never thought this day would come, John. It's
here
such
it comes
a shame.
Now, Tom. It all makes sense. It's lining up in the world of entertainment. Colin Cowherd, who is a huge fan of Russell Wilson.
Fox Sports national talk show.
You said a different show, and I think, did he lose that job or something?
No, yeah, he was at ESPN.
Yeah,
and
he said that thing about the Dominican Republic baseball players. Okay, here we go.
The rumor I'm going to tell you about, I was told this yesterday.
Just a rumor.
This is happening in the entertainment agent world. Everybody will deny it. It's not good to be out now. But Russell Wilson's wife is Sierra. She is a singer and an entertainer. She would prefer to live in New York. And the Giants need a quarterback, and there's nobody in the draft they love. So just remember this. A lot of things add up. Last year of Russell's contract.
Here we go. Mm-hmm. The man.
It's true.
Right? And the grassy knoll with the umbrella.
His wife would prefer New York. Seattle is not an entertainment mecca.
What? Where do we broadcast from? I ask you, Tom.
Okay. New York needs, the Giants need a star quarterback to replace Eli.
Mm. All right.
It all adds up.
You're chopping this thing.
No, that's it.
Oh, that's
all I got.
That's the whole thing. Okay.
He says all parties have incentives to let this happen. Ooh, more.
Also, Russell Wilson, good looking guy, classy guy, incredibly marketable, and kind of buried in the Pacific Northwest. And the Giants also have an offensive head coach, not a 66-year-old defensive head coach. Now, Seattle could franchise Russell, but that would mean you're paying him $31 million a year. Would Pete Carroll, in that division, which I'm arguing now is the best division in football, certainly in the argument, you want to pay your quarterback $31 million a year and not be able to sign other important players?
Or you let him go to New York. Okay.
With all sorts of compensation, I would hope. Mm-hmm. We're not going to, you know, just let him be a free agent. Now, just to calm people who don't listen to sports talk much, and this is the first they're hearing of it, just to calm
Tom, they tuned out 3 minutes ago.
Calm your souls. Okay. John Clayton over on 710 ESPN, I heard him yesterday, the professor, as he's known, said that this is out. In fact, I have not heard so much contempt come out of John Clayton's mouth before. Uh-huh. He just dismissed it as absolutely ridiculous. The only way this makes any sense is to cut Seattle completely out of it. Why would New York Giants want somebody like Russell Wilson? It makes a lot of sense. Eli Manning's on his way out. They don't have anybody in the draft they really like. Sure, he would be great. New York would be lucky to snag a guy like that. But there's no way that Seattle's going to let him go, even if it did cost $31 million. And the only reason it would cost $31 million is if there's a franchise tag. And he could not come to terms. The expectation is that we'll have to pay through the nose. We understand that. Yeah. Maybe he'll be the highest paid or tied with the highest paid quarterback.
Does it help Russell Wilson as far as what his next career move is to be playing on a team that is a perennial loser like New York?
Yes.
Or does That's he do argument. Better when people know him and see him as winners and possibly back in the Super Bowl as they played so well this year?
Yes.
People are starting to say if the same team, as it progresses and the team gets a little older and they begin to understand the system and everything else, by November of next year, as they're heading into the playoffs, do we then see Russell Wilson? It doesn't matter what city or state he's associated with.
Yeah, I mean, Green Bay has all sorts of historic reverberations for football fans, but Aaron Rodgers, nobody thinks Aaron Rodgers is the greatest quarterback, and he's stuck up in Green Bay, Wisconsin. So, no, if he's a winner, it'd be better to be a winner in Seattle than, you know, in New York.
Third place in that conference or wherever they end up every year.
Yes. Yeah. Now, and the other argument is that this is not really his doing. It's not that he wants to play somewhere else, but if he really is as in love with Sierra as he proved to be on Valentine's Day when he sent out heartfelt love, a mash note to his wife, if she really wants to go to New York because her career is dependent on that, I can see him maybe wavering. And then secondly, he's always said, I want to be a mogul. I want to be an owner. I want to be... Ultimately, if you end up in New York, which I think after this big contract, maybe as a if he's willing to be like a second string guy or a backup guy late in his career, he could go to New York or L.A. and then establish his entertainment empire or something. But that's not going to happen. But it's the doldrums of sports talk right now, so that's why we're all talking about it.
Okay.
Calm down, sports.
Let's see. It happened on the 29th of January in a cold, cold day. The actor said that he was attacked by two guys in MAGA hats, and they yelled at MAGA country. You've been following this story now for a long time. Everybody knows it. And then today, the Chicago Police Superintendent Eddie Johnson announces their findings regarding the actor.
This announcement today recognizes that Empire actor Jussie Smollett took advantage of the pain and anger of racism to promote his career. I'm left hanging my head and asking why. Why would anyone, especially an African-American man, use the symbolism of a noose to make false accusations?
Mm-hmm. Why did he do it?
First, Smollett attempted to gain attention by sending a false letter that relied on racial, homophobic, and political language. When that didn't work, Smollett paid $3,500 to stage this attack and drag Chicago's reputation through the mud in the process. And why? This stunt was orchestrated by Smollett because he was dissatisfied with his salary. So he concocted a story about being attacked.
Oh boy.
That really is amazing. If that's true, I don't know what that's based on.
Probably hours and days of investigation by the police, right? You think they're making it up?
No, the salary. Why he did that, because he hasn't confessed to this. Mm-hmm. He hasn't acknowledged this. So I'm wondering where they get this idea that he did it just for salary. You can imagine all sorts of things. Maybe he thought that the social issue wasn't getting enough attention. If it really comes down to just cold, hard cash, that's even more, you know, an indictment.
More
I
human. This might have come from the 2.5 hours of grand jury testimony from the two brothers that he hired. Maybe they were the ones that told it.
Oh yeah, it must have been. Yeah, but I mean, they're saying that maybe he was complaining, I'm not getting enough salary.
Hey guys,
why would this boost his salary? That's really interesting.
Because it makes him sympathetic, and then he takes off and becomes
to a guy who's paying. He's already on Empire.
No. But like, so his salary isn't good enough. So he stages this attack. He gets on all the networks, talks about the fact that this is horrible that this is happening because of Donald Trump. So then he gets 5 million or 50 million followers, and everybody's following. Then he continued to sort of ride that through the social media world. All of a sudden, it's like, wow, this guy's a huge star. Oh. You can't cut him. You got to pay him more. He's trying to find the force of sort of social media and everybody else that finds him now to be sympathetic. Because nobody knew this guy's name until 3-4 weeks ago, right?
Well, I mean, people, I guess, that don't watch Empire, but he certainly was a star on the Empire.
Where did the injuries come from, Tom?
So, of course, it was staged. The brothers had on gloves during the staged attack where they punched him a little bit. But as far as we can tell, the scratches and bruising that you saw on his face was most likely self-inflicted.
Ouch, how embarrassing.
Absolutely. I mean, the thing is, it's not just embarrassing. It's criminal. I mean, if that's really the case, and if I thought they were trying to suggest that he'd get more in his salary for some reason. So you think it's all social media following? I'm not sure that translates to money.
That translates into popularity, translates into more money. Don't you agree?
From Empire?
I don't know. Listen, he's desperate to find it. Yeah, what I love, I'm doing a little schadenfreude here. Tom hates it, but these are the cuts from all your news sources.
An outrage.
This is stomach-turning, mind-boggling information.
This is when it first happened.
It's out of control.
Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi tweeting, "The racist, homophobic attack on Jussie Smollett is an affront to our humanity."
And Senator Cory Booker said, "The vicious attack on actor Jussie was an attempted modern-day lynching."
Kamala Harris calling the attack an attempted modern-day lynching.
But I'm so shaken by the story.
This is horrible to report. This is a horrible story. Ali, this is a horrible story.
Yeah. I mean, the circumstances are just horrific.
Horrendous and unacceptable.
Absolutely despicable.
Yeah, a lot of people can't believe this is actually happening in 2019.
It's hard to believe that we're reporting, that we're even saying words like this in 2019.
And this is America in 2019.
And this is America. What a joke.
What do you think?
I am so glad this whole thing blew up on CNN, Washington Post, everybody else that took this story and didn't put the word. Tom, even as much as I hate the fact that when you do this news stuff, when I was working in television, you have to say allegedly. And I was like, the guy's standing there covered in blood with the chainsaw still running. Why do we have to say allegedly? They said, because those are the standards which we report the stories, because everyone is considered innocent, right?
So
you can jump on top.
This is all you've been doing. You've taken it.
I love it.
Minutes.
I love the fact that Tom, they took it. They didn't put the word allegedly in. I'm better than Fox News. Okay. They didn't put the word allegedly in. They all covered it like it happened. No. Nobody questioned the guy because he gets two boxes when it comes to the super oppressed. He's gay and black, so therefore we believe him. Oh, and by the way, other guys had red hats on, so therefore Trump's responsibility. I love this.
I know.
I
but
love
that
it blew up on this guy.
You're yourself because what you were getting responses to what happened. Cory Booker, Kamala Harris, right. The people that responded to it, what did you respond to that? They don't like to say, well, you know, journalistically, we don't know. He's innocent until proven guilty. They were asking, what's your response to this? And that's the response, because the assumption was when the news came out, this happened. Mm-hmm. Every time there's a hoax, people rush to judgment or rush to assume it's true, and then they rush back. This is going to give everyone kind of pause because, I mean, it's true.
Same way with the Covington kids.
Exactly. I know, and that happens on the other side too. The idea is, what the thing is, people react, especially in the social media world. You got to get a response immediately, and then there'll be even Al Sharpton, who I think rose to fame by backing Dawana Brawley way back in the 80s, which is bogus.
What?
And even he's come out and said, this is terrible. If this is a hoax, all those things that were applied to the situation are now being applied to Smollett's faking. And that's what I loved about that. It was an African-American police chief who was condemning him for doing such damage by implying that Chicago has these kinds of things happen, and he thinks it's outrageous with using the noose imagery and everything else.
It's awful.
And if it's all for just getting more money, it's maybe even more atrocious.
Well, what was his other purpose? Was he doing it because he wanted to show how horrible things are under Donald Trump?
Donald Trump in this country, how horrible under a representative or Governor Northam in Virginia. I mean, that's the idea here, is what's happening in this country. But it's not. It's just a money grab.
Right. Well, I'll just say this. I believe hate crimes occur. I believe people beat up people based on their religion.
We don't cover hate crimes on the show, John. We only cover it when they're hoaxes. That's why I think it's a little bogus.
No, we don't. No, we could cover hate crimes. There are 7,000 hate crimes that happen according to the latest statistic.
Which are up significantly since Donald Trump. I mean, if you want
2016, they created new ways to be able to report hate crimes, and police started keeping track of it. So in 2016, you had about 6,000. It has increased. Why? Because they had more outlets to report.
Okay.
So that's the reason the number has gone up.
Maybe.
And then when they report that the number of hate crimes against Jews has gone up 56%. Well, then they found out. You know what it's from? It's some crazy kid in Israel who's sitting at his computer sending bomb threats. He sends so many bomb threats to different Jewish organizations in the United States. That's why it went up 56%.
Okay.
But the news loves to keep us believing that we have this huge, extreme division in the world, in the United States, and it's black against white and white against black and Republicans against Democrats. They love to foment this, Tom, because that's why you tune in. They've got the latest when it comes to
Are
one side against
Fox
another
News
side.
In that?
Absolutely, they all do it.
And you're including the president in that because he likes to stoke it as well.
I do the same thing. I include Joe Biden when Joe Biden says they want to put you all back in chains, or Barack Obama says it's easier to get a gun than it is a book. Same nonsense. When it happens on both sides to get you to hate the one guy or you to hate the other guy, everyone needs to do it, and the media needs to do it so that you will keep listening and reading to their garbage.
Most of the stuff that the media is doing is not that. There are instances where hoaxes happen, but we do not cover hate crimes. Now, I think that's a legitimate point. If you want to say that hate crimes are not up, that there's not an increase, then maybe there's no need to cover hate crimes. But the context,
there's a hate crime. One happens to Mamish. We had it at the top of the news.
That's right. But don't you think that we're wondering if it's legitimate or not?
Well, you will find out. That's,
I know
sure.
We'll find
which
out.
Which is a legitimate question because so many of them turn out to be hoaxes.
So many of them. But that's the question. We cover the hoaxes, but we don't cover the real things. Now, I think it's if you want to make the argument that there's no such thing as a hate crime hate crimes do not exist in any significant proportion, then that's one thing to do. But otherwise, you get all excited whenever we can disprove a hate crime, but you never cover the hate crime as a hate crime.
We cover the hate crime. If it's big enough, we talk about it. But then four or 5 days later, we never do the follow-up on the thing.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, and I read this.
It's because he's a celebrity that we covered this.
Sure.
If that had just happened to if that really had happened to some guy in Chicago, it wouldn't have gotten nearly the kind of attention. It's the celebrity that got us all excited about it.
Yeah.
That's a guy on Empire.
Right. But then other people have said, oh, two guys in a maggot hat came by and tore my burqa. And then that turned out not to be true. Here's what I find to be amazing. There's 330 million of us in this country. If they say there's 7,000 hate crimes that are reported, you know what that is? That's 0.002%. I think it's more amazing the fact that apparently if we're really at each other's throats, if everybody hates one another, the poor hate the rich and the rich hate the poor, don't you think there'd be more than that? More than 0.002 hate crimes? 7,000 reported hate crimes. And apparently a big chunk of those came from some crazy guy in Israel. So the question is,
I don't know how I believe that.
Oh, sorry. You can read it. You want to read it?
No, you're telling me that that guy in Israel is responsible for
56% of the increase of calls against Jews came from this one kid.
Okay, yeah. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's only the Jews. You got the Muslims. You got the African Americans. You got minorities of the Hispanic descent.
Well, we'll report on every hate crime, and then we'll report when it turns out to be a hoax.
Well, that would be great, and I'm sure it'll never happen.
All right. Tim Iman. Now, this is also a hoax, understand, everybody, because he was just taking the chair because he was on Dory, which is amazing you on Dory.
So why would you go back into the store after this bank heist that was so successful? Why would you do that? It's like, because I went back into the store to pay for everything. And so the whole thing is just a complete joke.
Wow, they had to dump him because he actually cursed on the air. He says...
Anyway, it's just a huge misunderstanding. I end up getting this phone call while I'm in line to pay for everything. It's from the Institute of Free Speech. It's an organization out of Alexandria, Virginia, that have been trying forever to take my case in the Bob Ferguson lawsuit. They call me exactly as I'm in line. And this is like the call of a lifetime. I've been... getting pilloried by Bob Ferguson. I haven't been able to hire an attorney because of Bob Ferguson. Here they are calling me.
Okay. Easily proved, right? Hand over your phone records. He admitted to the strange sequence of events while loading the chair in before paying.
I understand.
And moving on to the next one, he says that... No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
I understand. I guess the only thing I would highlight is what's even stranger is to take something... and then not drive away with it, but instead to go back into the store and then purchase a bunch of other stuff at the same time. All I'm telling you is that the entire thing, the reason people just couldn't understand it is that nothing made sense about it. And it's because you just couldn't, I don't know, I can't even get into it.
Okay. Dory wanted to know. Dory said, an accident. That's what all thieves say.
Yeah, exactly. All shoplifters say. It's too bad we don't have any Dory clues in it because I love Dory. It's not a normal course of shopping to see something that you're planning on buying, to take it out of the store, load it in your vehicle, and then go back in to pay for it, Dory said. It's like, yes. Anyway.
Okay. What's the latest? Is he going to be charged with shoplifting? He went later in the interview, he was just doing a commercial for Office Depot chairs.
Well, do we have that?
The greatest chair. Well, we got some other stuff as well. Yeah. We'll come back. We'll come back. Lake Washington Windows and Doors, thank you very much for sponsoring the Tom and Curly Show. If the windows are cracked or the seal is broken near the door or the window, a pretty good chance there is money flying out. Don't bother looking for it. It's hot air, and that's money you pay for. To keep the house nice and toasty warm, you're wasting your money. Get in touch with Lake Washington Windows and Doors. They'll do a good job replacing those for you. Peace of mind and save some bucks. We got to continue just part two of the Tim Iman stuff with the chair. Okay. He was on with Dory. We thought it was sort of fun to be able to play it. Dory asked, "Is this Dory? Did Dory actually say this? An accident isn't what most thieves say." Is this for Dory?
You know, I'm 53 years old. I don't think I've hidden my kleptomania for the last 53 years. I mean, it's just, I've never been accused of ever stealing anything ever. It is just a complete, I can't use that word that I used earlier that hopefully you bleep me on.
Yes.
It's just a complete misunderstanding. It's all it is. But I've lawyered up. Fortunately, I had a friend from college who owns a law firm now. He's handling it for me pro bono. He told me that it's the proper way to do it at this stage. There's nothing you can do about it other than, and they said, do not say anything. Don't, you know, talk about this thing in any way. But I just kept saying, this is so ridiculously absurd, I just can't keep quiet about it.
All right, there you go.
Well, he did manage to keep quiet about it for a few days. But there's a kind of justification for it because he was on a family vacation, so mm-hmm. he wasn't even aware of all this brouhaha. The problem is what he did.
Are we assuming innocence or are we not? Are we assuming guilt? Everybody gets assumed innocence, right?
Well, in a court of law, but in the world of social media, most people think that's considered shoplifting, even if he didn't intend to do it. You don't put the item in your car first. But I'd give him the benefit of the doubt in that I think he probably did forget.
Okay.
However, because he's been so squirrely about his finances and the state's been on him about that, this can be seen as, well, I'm going to go back in, I've got the perfect justification for it, and then if they don't catch me, then I can drive off and it'll be no big deal. But still, it's,
Injecture,
I cringe
Your Honor,
for him.
Injecture. He does want to make sure that we understand how nice the chair is.
Yeah, I don't know how this helps his case, but listen to this. This is how he starts.
You have no idea how good this chair is. This is one of the nicest chairs you could ever possibly have, and it's a really nice chair. I recommend people go out and buy one right now.
If you're talking about how nice a chair is, it's so nice you could almost steal it.
It's only $70.
I know.
Should have asked him. I should have got Dory or we'll get to Nicole to call. Would he have a problem if we played that thing that I did?
Oh, yeah. That would be good.
It probably only has about 24 more hours of life left to it.
That's right.
All right. Let's see. Autocorrect. This is a really cool story because it explains every once in a while if you go to type something, you start to type. Now your phone or your computer is trying to figure out, oh, is the next word you want to say this word?
Right.
And then you're like, oh, yeah, as a matter of fact, it is. And that moves it along. And is the next word you want to say this word? It's working mostly with nouns and verbs. And because it's pulling from data of words you have used before, and then it's inserting them because it says, well, this seems you have a history of using that word, so let's stick that word in there.
And what's happened is that autocorrect, for a lot of us, when we first experience autocorrect, it's like, God, you know what you want to say, and they keep changing it. Don't keep changing it, you know, for me. But now it's become so accepted that it's become kind of this, as they say, a wacky but charming oracle. Now we're kind of it's fun to see how are they going to distort what I really meant to say about that. And so they talk about all these games that are established. And you could say you could sort of get your own persona, how it's projected by writing in things like, foolish heroes, my true plan is, as if you're a villain, and they'll say whatever, they'll try to cull whatever words from your vocabulary you've already used.
Yeah.
You should follow me on Twitter because, and then they'll finish the phrase. And it's kind of like a Mad Libs or something kind of game.
The fact that autocorrect has become famous, you send something and then if they're pulling words that you've used before, why are often so many of those words dirty? Which I do not get. Is it that people are typing those dirty words and saying those dirty words a lot?
I think you are.
I looked online under wacky autocorrect.
So what they say is that autocorrection is based on a lot of your, like, so I read a lot of, like, this guy named Ludwig Bemelmans. And so now when I type in B-E, they immediately give me Bemelmans as a choice, whereas that would never happen in your field. So what they do is they look at the kind of words that you've used or the kind of places you've searched, and that's why there are a lot of local references. I might print out AU, and they go Aurora, but they wouldn't do that if you were in maybe Tacoma as readily as you would in Seattle.
So people must use these words enough that the stuff shows up.
That's right.
Okay.
At least when people spell certain parts of a word, it more often is this other dirty word than not, and then that gets autocorrected, and you send it off to somebody without checking it. And John, you had a whole list of hilarious.
One guy writes,
"Screw up.
Hey, don't invite too many people to my party." And the person writes back, "Why not?"
Yeah,
because I have a
you've never seen it before,
but I have a tiny D.
Yeah, and he meant to say,
and then the person writes back, "You do," and then he. No. No. Deck. I said deck.
Right.
Damn autocorrect.
Somebody writes, Wally World picking up meds. Anything else for the house? Person writes back, not that I can think of. Would you want a small salad and maybe a naked pastor for dinner? And then the person quickly, no. Oh, my God. I meant baked potato. Not naked pastor. Oh, that's funny stuff.
Anyway, so the idea is, if you want to find out what your phone, in effect, thinks of you,
yes,
then type in these kind of, you know, open things. Like they suggest, type in 2019, I'll, and then let them finish out. You know, you have to pick one of three choices, and you end up coming up with, in 2019, I'll be alone. In 2019, I'll be in the memes of the world. I'll have to go get a dog. I mean, there are all these. Anyway, just sort of funny. The autocomplete presents the best version of you or the worst version of you, depending on how often you use those words.
Hi, Jan. You coming to the meeting at 4? I'll be there. Great. Please meet me in my office at 3:30 so we can have a brief Connie Linguist beforehand. Excuse me? I have no words. I typed conference and my phone changed it. I am so sorry. And the person writes back, wow.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
And the problem is, if what we just established is that the vocabulary is created around the words you already use.
Conference.
Conference.
I said conference. Oy, 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 oy. Emojis are showing up in court cases, and it's a problem because how do you use the emojis to express words when they can be interpreted different ways? The courts are not prepared for these emojis.
That's right. As a rule, there is one court case where they actually did use an emoji to convince somebody that they let down. This was somebody trying to buy a house.
Yeah.
And they said, hey, you know, we just got it. This has been approved. And they sent back popcorn, you know, I mean, champagne corks popping and, you know, ta-da-da-da-da-da. And then they went on and got a different house and put a down payment on a different house. And so the realtor sued them. Mm-hmm. And they said, because you, in effect, said, yes, you'd take it.
You confirmed,
and the question is, was that a confirmation or not? And they thought, yeah, that one, you know, string of emojis was so clear that they did say, yes, you did mislead that realtor. And I don't know what the realtor won, but that's the only case. Then they just go through all these other instances of misinterpretations, which are legitimate. And the one thing that I found most surprising about this, I guess I didn't realize it. If you have a different phone, you get a different emoji. Uh-huh. So on my iPhone, if I send it to and I pick a particular emoji that I think seems perfect, and then I send it to somebody who has an Android phone, they'll have a different emoji, and it might have a slightly different
meaning,
connotation or look or whatever. They go, wait a minute. And because of that, a lot of people, once they find that out, a lot of people say, boy, it's dangerous to send emojis. When they see what the other platform does to that emoji, they back off and say, we shouldn't even be sending it. So we have to figure out how to handle emojis in day-to-day life, but also in the courts.
It's just more for us to deal with.
Yeah, but it should be simple.
Yeah, it should.
I mean, they're just pictures.
Life's so complicated. Letters are pouring in. Thanks, everybody, for writing online. Trading Academy text line at 98973, plus also the online Trading Academy's tech line, and also mynorthwest.com. Great ways to get to us. Letter of the day yet, Jacob?
Yes.
That really builds suspense. We'll break back.
May we.
Care Partners Senior Living, thanks a lot for sponsoring the Tom McCurley Show, and thanks for being there at a difficult time for a lot of people. As mom and dad age and they can't take care of the house, they need a new community, you will be welcomed and you will love Care Partners Senior Living. Here comes the mailman.
I'm the mailman, as you can see, I'm the mailman, don't nobody mess with me. I'm the mailman, if you didn't know, I'm the mailman, I bring the mail to your door.
Yes, he does right to your door, and it's nice to be able to have the mailman stop by with that. Teeny tiny lady had an exciting day. Try it one more time. Get her to say it in a British accent. Try it. Andrew.
Okay, here we go. Hello.
One more time.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, close enough. God. All right, here we go.
Try French next time.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll start off with restaurant workers. The irony is, despite the minimum wage of $15, they can't get enough people to work in restaurants. 206 writes, and Tom, the market is responding by shutting down restaurants. Well, at least not yet. We don't want to pay that much for food. That could be the end result.
John Howie's sports closed over there near the Space Needle.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, huh. I just see that go. 360 says, what do you think it does to restaurants in small towns and mid-sized towns outside of Seattle? We still have to pay the minimum wage or more. We can't raise our prices enough to survive.
And 253, hey, guys, there's a restaurant worker shortage because companies like Uber Eats are interfering with waitresses' tips. Oh, that's interesting.
And then it comes to Wizard of Oz. What is it? What the lady wants to know something. Hang on. What is it? What do you want to know?
Is my pizza going to be covered in cocaine today?
Right in the middle of letters.
Yeah.
Okay. 253. Two old guys on the radio talking about sex always makes me uncomfortable.
That's why we never do it. 206. Not the wall, dark side of the moon. Come on, Rachel, get your drug experiences straight.
253 That's says, right. On Oz and Rachel Bell, sing like the green girls are listening. Dance like no one's watching the studio cameras and live like it's Montana on Earth. Okay.
On the future of the show, do you want to do Nick's and then I'll do Tom's?
Yes, because thank you. Nick's, Morris Island. I'm looking 30 years down the road and you guys will never be feeble to do the show. Too feeble. I'm just praying that Andrew makes it out of the basement and you stop calling him a millennial by then. Cheers.
And Tom in Ferndale, again, on the future of the show. John, just before the 11th hour, you raised a question about when you'll be too feeble to do the show. Mm-hmm. The answer is tied to your audience demographics. If the majority of the listeners are in my demographic, I'm Tom's age, the show will last deep into your twilight years. You'll only need to remember one story and one joke to tell day after day. To us listeners, sitting in our chairs, drooling down the fronts of our shirts, it'll be fresh and new. Tom only needs to remember one movie review, probably dating back to his childhood. One thing that may have to go will be the listener's quiz, because no matter what the questions are, the answers will be the same. Where's my pants? Have you seen my pants? Who is this? Is it time for my fills? And finally, why'd you call me? As for Jacob, good news and bad news. The good news is producing the show will be easy because, like the audience, the hosts won't know they're doing the same show over and over and over again.
Wow.
The downside is having to constantly chase you guys down as you wander off during commercials and having to intervene whenever John starts suffering one of his fits of involuntary hip thrusting.
Well, luckily, the show is sponsored by Care Partner Senior Living.
Yeah, that's right.
Most people age considerably listening to that. Snowplow 360, the guy that came to Seattle, made $35,000, made national news. The IRS will be paying him a visit.
Yeah, maybe so. On Montana, 425. Big Sky Country, Montana, is one of the most beautiful places on Earth. Dozens of billionaires live there, including Ted Turner, who owns over 2 million acres. Uh-huh. Yellowstone is a must-see. Love it there.
James in Issaquah says, hey, if Montana moves to Canada, then we can save money by not having to buy a new 51-star American flag when Eastern Washington becomes Liberty.
That's
good job,
funny.
James.
And on the Jussie Smollett story, 253, I think Tom needs to admit that Mr. C was right again. Smollett's story was a total fabrication, and the left-wing media ran with it, and now I have egg on their face.
Eric and Botha once made famous by their show. Before we throw CNN and MSNBC under the bus, let's remember that they are news organizations, not law enforcement. Their job is to report the news that's available from information provides. Their job isn't to investigate crimes or alleged crimes. That is the job of the police. If the police stated it was a hoax, I'm sure it would have been reported.
On college athletes, 206, why should players get paid for playing for their college? Should we pay high schoolers too? The answer is no. If you think you're good enough to get paid for playing ball, then you should go pro. You can't, though, given the NCAA and the NFL rules. And that's why they play, for the chance to go pro.
425, play college, pay college athletes minimum wage and tuition. It seems fair.
On the population, 253, we need Thanos. Thanos is the Infinity Wars guy. Anybody who knows, they get it. He's in charge of population control. Let's just put it that way.
Oh, wow.
Russell Wilson, 206, sports psychology is one of my specialists. Sierra is now a mother. Once she compares bringing up children in New York or even New York City, she's going to miss the safe parks of Bellevue and our climate. We must have had some snow in Boston. It must have snow in Boston, but it's gone here. It's still there. And teeny tiny lady swims in.
And now it is time for the letter of the day.
Letter of the day, Tom.
Comes from 253. During Dave Ross's show, Cairo runs ads where a dad explains that he and his kids are smarter after listening to Cairo in the car.
Mm.
Why doesn't that ad run during your show? Zing!
Chicken salad sandwich, love affair.
Between your knees.
All the time. Bye-bye.